Thank you, Pastor. So good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? No matter how, what the condition of your heart is, it's so good to come into the presence of God where the praises of God just lifts our heart. Like this morning, I just felt such a lifting of our heart in praise. I think Rajiv led us in a lot of praise songs, praises to the Creator. I believe that when we learn how to praise the Lord, no matter how, whatever situation we are in, whatever our heart is, the condition, it is like this morning when I was just, worshiping there, it's like the wings of the butterfly fluttering, like it's light-hearted in the presence of the Lord. So we can be heavy-hearted elsewhere, but in the presence of the Lord, there is that light-heartedness, that breakthrough, that discovery of the Lord's beautiful, gentle presence here. So this morning, whatever situation you are in, when you come into the presence of the Lord wants to encounter us, amen, with His gentle and presence that is so thick with His strength. Thank you, Lord. God is good, amen. Let us pray and ask the Lord to bless today's message. Lord, we thank you so much that where your presence is, there is that beauty and that lightheartedness and that breakthrough. And Lord, I just pray, even as we are considering your word, let your word bring liberty to the captives. Let your word bring light to the eyes. Let your word, oh God, bring a lifting of our spirit, dear Lord, so that, Lord, we will say, indeed, oh God, I have believed in a God that loves me with an everlasting love. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. We pray that, God, you will liberate us through your word as well. That today, God, our hearts will be even further liberated by your presence and your word. We give you thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you were there that day, you would have thought there was a wedding. Because the fragrance that wafted through that living room was one that is so thick, so infused with a fragrance that is so exquisite. In fact, it's the type of fragrance or the type of perfume that a very honorable and very generous bride would give to her bridegroom. That's what a woman in that time would do. They would give that fragrance to their beloved husband. But that day, there was no wedding bells. There were no flowers. You know, Ivan used to do weddings. It's been a long time since we don't have a wedding for a long time. But wherever Ivan does things with wedding decoration, he would have a lot of frills, a lot of ribbons, a light, and it's amazing. Weddings are amazing, huh? But that day there was no wedding bells, there were no wedding frills, but there was that very profound and very deep spontaneity of a woman that lit up the room. And Jesus said it was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. What she did was this woman anointed the head of the one she called the Son of God. And she anointed the head of the one who set her free. And when she did that, God opened up her eyes to the wonder and to heaven and to be able to publicly celebrate the presence of God on earth, just like what we did this morning. As we praise, we bring the glory and the praise of heaven down to earth. That was what happened. When she poured the perfume over the Son of God, her eyes were open to the wonder and to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a, we call it a numinous moment, a moment that she was in touch with divinity. She encountered God in her spontaneity. But it wasn't without struggle, because sometimes when you try to be spontaneous, sometimes people try and cut you short or dampen you and say, you know, don't be too loud or don't be this and that. And it wasn't without struggle, Because when she was spontaneous with a gift of this very exquisite and very expensive fragrance, the disciples who were beside her says, "Wow, hey, why this waste? Why do you pour this perfume on the Lord Jesus when this perfume could have been sold and given to the poor?" But you see, this woman has calculated her costs. This woman has done her sums. And after all the calculation, she couldn't help but to offer this very pure and very costly perfume that was actually reserved for her wedding to the Lord Jesus Christ. She lavishly, the Bible tells us, she lavishly anointed the head of Jesus. Jesus was touched to his core. You know, I don't know whether you've experienced that, but sometimes when something touched you and it touches you to the core, something touched you on the skin, something touched you on the visual, but some things touch you to the core. Have you experienced that? If you haven't, this year is your chance to ask the Lord, "Lord, tell me and help me experience what Pastor Karen's talking about, being touched to the core." Anyway, that's beside the point. No altar call yet, huh? Jesus was touched to the core. And Jesus blurted out and said, "She has done a beautiful thing." I believe Jesus said she had done a beautiful thing because it also struck the chord in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because this is very near his death. And Jesus was about to do a beautiful thing. Jesus was about to die, to be buried, and resurrected. Wow, it's very powerful. And that's why Jesus says, "Wow, that's a beautiful thing." See, true service, and I believe a lot of us have served well for many years and have served truly the Lord Jesus Christ for many years. True service, real service, is served out of a whispered prompting. So many times there are things that we do, it's like, it's not we just pluck it out from the air. No, we seek the Lord, or we were talking with the Lord, we are fellowshipping with the Lord, and then we hear that still small voice, that whispered prompting, and then you kind of like say, "By faith, I'm going to do it," because Jesus says without faith, or Paul says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so true service or real service is served out of a whispered prompting. You listen with tenderness to what you have been hearing, and then you act. And when you do that in obedience, and we always talk about obedience, but when you do that in obedience and spontaneity, you open up your eyes to wonder. I mean, today we didn't sing the song, but we used to sing the song, isn't it? You open up your eyes to wonder. You open up your eyes to the world of hope, of delight, of gratitude, of celebration, of creativity. And C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, and he says that these spontaneous pleasures, oh, these are pleasures. Praising the Lord is a pleasure. But these spontaneous pleasure of opening our eyes to wonder are like patches of God light when you are in the woods of your experience. So our experience is like going to the woods, to the forest, you know, and then you can't see a lot of things, but you know that your journey is to go through that woods. C.S. Lewis says, when you have got spontaneity, when you are able to respond to God's urging and prompting, then it's like walking through the woods and you know that the light of God will shine on your path and lead you through that woods. How beautiful, how beautiful. So as we enter 2022, today is the 16th day already, 2 weeks. I thought we were just preparing for Christmas. I was like cooking a lot. I was like, cook, 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 cook. And now it's over. And now it's like New Year, 16th day. But as we enter into 2022, may we continue the saga of doing beautiful things. How lovely to be able to have the approval of the Lord Jesus. And he says, you've done a beautiful thing. You've done a beautiful thing. You've done a beautiful thing. May we continue this saga of doing beautiful things for the Lord. Whatever God spontaneously inspires you to do, you do it, for you are doing a beautiful thing. Adriana, doing a beautiful thing. Mexico, 6 months. Wow, that's a beautiful thing, huh? You must be spontaneously inspired by the Lord Himself to do that. So the first thing is, if you want to be doing a beautiful thing for the Lord, number one is to be God-directed. Is to be God-directed. And if you look at Matthew 26, verses 6 to 7, we're going to read some scriptures there. Beautiful scriptures today. Oh, beautiful scriptures. So turn to it. I won't be giving you the verses on the screen. So you turn to it. Matthew 26, 6 to 7. And it says there, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. So he, here referring to Jesus, which she poured on Jesus' head as Jesus was reclining at the table. Something happened at the party in Simon's house. Something happened, at least for this woman with the alabaster box or alabaster jar. Who would be so kind as to show up at a leper's house? Simon the leper. Who would be so kind as to show up at Simon the leper's house? Jesus did. And Simon's house must have not been visited by guests for a long time. Now, we were in Konkien the last time in the lepers colony, and we know there are very, very few visits of family members of these lepers, even though the lepers are recovered. Very, very few. In fact, the children of the lepers who are non-lepers got to alight one bus stop away from the house, and then they walk back so that they don't want to be sort of like seen as being lepers in the community. So this is Simon the leper. So this woman with the alabaster jar is thinking, who would be so kind as to show up at a leper's house? But Jesus was not inhibited by the condition of the leper. In fact, Jesus, I picture him, he would be enjoying himself. Yeah, he ate and he drank with very relaxed freedom. He would be at home with the people in the room. The reason is, Jesus is happy wherever he is. He's relaxed wherever he is because he has the fullness of joy in himself. That's why, because God has the fullness in himself, he can give us the fullness of joy no matter what situation we are in. Whether our hearts have been hurt, our hearts have been down, we can ask the Lord for that measure of joy because Jesus has the fullness of joy himself. That's why he's called God. He has the fullness of joy in himself. And he came to the house of Simon the leper, the house that have not been usually frequented by people. He came to the house of Simon to bless him and to bless his family and to do them good. So the presence of the Lord Jesus that day lit up the room. And that sparked the spontaneity in the woman. Her heart leapt as she thought of how she could show her admiration and affection to God. It was a delightful mix of gratitude, of celebration, of freedom, and of love. And so she couldn't think of anything except to want to quickly run home. Sometimes when you are touched to the core, you want to run home and see what is the most precious thing you can bring out to serve your guests. Isn't it true? When you have people coming to your house, do you bring in all your fermented rice or your stale bread. No, you go into your storehouse and you look for the most expensive, the most exquisite, the freshest, isn't it? You don't want to serve them just any food. You want to serve them with the freshest. So she ran around the house looking and she could not help it. There was only one gift she could give, and that was the most precious possession she has. She couldn't offer anything less. So she grabbed the alabaster jar and her footsteps picked up. She ran almost, trying not to drop the jar, excited, and it's a lot of mixed feeling, and she hurried back to Simon's house. And she stood in the hallway looking at the man seated at the head of the table, reclining. And she went over there. She was moved beyond measure. She couldn't even ask for permission. She was too tight-lipped, too excited. And all she did was she poured the ointment on the Son of God's head. That's what the presence of God or the presence of Jesus do to people. And I just wonder if we have experienced God-directed moments like this in our lives as well, where you are so caught up by the reality of Jesus that you can't help it. I think the word is can't help it. You can't help it. The spontaneity just spills up. I was talking to my cousin, my adult cousin, many years ago. And not many years, it's many years ago. I like to exaggerate, huh? Spontaneous tongue. And my cousin was sharing how he came to know the Lord. And so one day at the church service, he was just, you know, doing his own business, listening to the sermon. He wasn't a Christian back then. And he was just listening. And then the altar call was made. And he said in his words, he says, "I just can't help it." He says, "My legs just can't help it, got to run to the front," he said. He says, "My legs automatically just walked forward." And that day, he opened up his heart to the divine God, and his life was never the same again. He did a beautiful thing. He did a beautiful thing because it was God-directed, and he experienced a changeover from his current position to the foretaste of what heaven is like. And he's still living his Christian life. He's in Singapore now. He's still living his Christian life. You talk to him, his name is Chong Ko. I call him Chong Ko because Ko means brother and Chong means his name. It was the beginning of a new life. You see, God wants to commune with us. Do you know God loves to wait for you to open up your eyes and flutter your eyelids and greet him, good morning. God wants to commune with us. In fact, God makes us human beings so that we can commune with him. We have got the capacity for communion with him. We've got two cats in the house. My daughter has got two cats. They can commune with us, but very limited. But God made us human beings with speech and everything else, like my grandson, now learning to da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, you have the, even though he doesn't speak proper English, not yet, but he was trying to commune with me. And God gave us the capacity to be able to commune with him. And God created something even as we are born again. God put into us spontaneity. Spontaneity is the avenue through which God meets us and communes with us. And as we learn how to be God-directed, as we learn how to be open to those moments where God is, the presence of God is thick, we will begin to experience encounters with our God. And I pray that this year, you'll be so open to many of these very spontaneous God-directed moments because God wants to commune with us. And God is creative. Do you know God is creative? So therefore, if God is creative, what do you think we are? Creative. So don't say you're not creative. All of us are creative. Maybe you think art. Maybe you think drawing. No, creative doesn't mean just art. Science, technology is also being creative. being able to put that building into being is also creative. Engineers, creative. I mean, we always say it's a science, but you need creativity to put things like that into a certain order. God is creative. And He has a plethora of ideas to let us encounter Him. If you know this famous theologian by the name of Barth, to Barth, if he listened to Mozart, it will be a theologically significant moment. It's like you are being brought to the depths of your spirituality when you listen to something like that, and it really brings you into the presence of God. For C.S. Lewis, I'm quoting him again today, my favorite author, so I'm going to mention him a bit more. For C.S. Lewis, it would be walking in the garden and smelling a flowering currant bush. I know Pastor Pauline will identify with this. She goes to her garden often, and she's very good with her plants, very botanical in her lifestyle. And she would be smelling, or C.S. Lewis would be smelling the flowering currant bush, and he could hear God's voice of joy. When you are God-directed, the natural things that surround you can become a supernatural scenario in God. Because when you have that personal relationship with God, then you can have that spontaneity that comes from Him. And it is a very direct and very intimate sort of communion with Him. You can't deny that He wants to interact with us. What stirs you to see God? For some of us, it's watching the sunset. I've got a friend who lives in the hills, and he would always send us pictures, because whenever he watches a sunset, he just get into the presence of God, you know. Some people watching the sunset. Some people reading a novel. Some of us painting, whether it's with children or grandchildren. Some of you just enjoy God moments like this, simple moments like this, with an attitude of wonder. Because if you are God-directed, then you can find the divine in very ordinary things. In a cup of tea, in the caress of the winds, crabbing. Some of you go into the cool water of the crabbing pond of water, and you thank God for provisions, and you thank God for the cool waters on your feet. It's like, wow, this is heaven on earth. See, God wants our heart. And our heart is the most delightful thing that we can give to God. No matter what your heart is, that's the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've followed Him for about 40 years. The beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ is, doesn't matter what the heart condition is. If you are broken, if you are whole, if you are happy, if you are sad, when we come to Him and spontaneously offer ourselves to Him, God just loves it. And God wants us to be able to enjoy His creativity. The beauty about God is He not just helps us at a personal level, even at the church level, God is creative as well. God is spontaneous as well. In fact, He likes to express Himself so much through the church. God wants to express Himself to us individually, but God wants also to express Himself through the church as a group. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German theologian, he wrote this to his friends. He wrote a letter to his friends. He says this. He says, I wonder whether it is possible to regain the idea of the church as providing an understanding of the area of freedom. And by freedom, he meant art, education, friendship, play. So that the aesthetic existence would not be banished from the church's sphere. So that the church knows how to play. The church knows how to be spontaneous. That's what he's saying. I really think so, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. Who is there, for instance, in our times, who can devote himself with an easy mind to music, friendship, games, or happiness? Surely not the ethical man. This is Dietrich Bonhoeffer speaking. He's a theologian. He says, surely the ethical man is not the one who enjoys freedom in music and friendship, games and happiness. He says, surely not the ethical man, but only the Christian. Wow, so powerful. Church, we are the channel of God. We are the channel of God's spontaneous expression. And God knows that it's our core need to be spontaneous. We need to be spontaneous because we're human beings. We are called to respond. And spontaneity is our core emotional need. God knows it. And God wants us to be that channel. That's why God called us to rejoice. God calls us to sing. That's why this morning there's so much rejoicing, so much singing. God called us to rejoice, to sing, to laugh, to play with abandon. Wow. Hallelujah. Laughter is holy, huh? Thank God. If not, I'll be in trouble. You see, when we know how to be spontaneous, one author says, then you learn how to be emotionally healthy as a disciple. An emotionally healthy discipleship program must include the ability to be spontaneous because it is good for us. Because when we are able to be spontaneous, be able to celebrate, then we are able to live life to the fullest. And that carries us into all aspects of Christian existence. When we open ourselves to the presence of God, just like this woman did with the alabaster jar, right? She began to enjoy the very tactile presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be God-directed. This year, be God-directed. Listen to Him. Just like the mother of Jesus told the attendants around Him, says, listen to Him. And when Jesus ordered them to put water into the jar, they all did that. And when they all did that, the banquet became a place overflowing with exquisite and expensive wine. I pray that this year, that God will revive our senses, that God will stir our spontaneity, and God will help us give room to the miraculous. Amen? Amen? So if you want to be spontaneous, first, be God-directed. The second thing is you don't be too other-directed. Don't be too other-directed. That means don't be too directed by other people. You need to hear from God. Don't be too other-directed. Let's turn to Matthew 26, verse 8 to 9. Matthew 26, 8 to 9 says, when the disciples saw this, they were indignant. They were angry. It says, why this waste? They asked. The perfume. The perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. So bringing the alabaster jar to Simon's house for the woman sparked joy. But to the disciples, their response was a killjoy. But hey, it's a very rational and very practical voice. We hear this all the time. Don't waste. Earn money. Do charity. We hear this all the time. It's very practical. It's very rational. It's very sensible in the economic sense, in a humanitarian sense. It's very, very sensible. And I think it's great to be empathetic people that we respond to causes of charity. But certainly there is a place for spontaneity, especially when it is God-directed. So the woman took the initiative to do what was put in her heart. And the fragrance wafted through the room. But the disciples made these very discouraging remarks that could actually dampen anybody. These sort of remarks, no matter how well-meaning, can dampen any sort of statement that we make. So we have got to be careful of counter-environments of spontaneity. You want to be spontaneous? I'm telling you what, there will be counter environments of spontaneity, things that will stop you from being spontaneous. And it can be in the form of people. People can actually limit our spontaneity. There are some people, when they are around, you just can't play. You can't talk loudly. You can't laugh. There are some people, when they are dismissing and they are discouraging, it will make you shrink in your spontaneity. You got to watch out for those people. Okay? Sometimes the block to our spontaneity has got to do with the words. Sometimes it's the words, not usually actual, but perceived. That means you think they are saying it. They didn't say it, but you think they are saying it's perceived. So sometimes even before you do something, you assume you're going to get a response. And so what do? You don't do it. So these are also things that can be a counter environment of spontaneity. Tell you what, I just learned this year. And I learned that I can also be pessimistic. I discovered through a questionnaire that I did. If we are pessimistic, if we think like that, assuming that your opinions don't matter, assuming that other people are stronger than you, that you are not valued, that your words don't mean as much as other people, and so you got to just limit your spontaneity, I tell you what, you are pessimistic. I thought I was quite optimistic. I'm quite optimistic, right? But the questionnaire results say I'm pessimistic. Then I realize that sometimes I can be, because sometimes we can assume certain things even before other people have said it to make you limit yourself. This year, you need to ask the Lord to unblock that, because you want to be able to hear what God is saying to you. God's spontaneous ideas come through you and through the church. You are the only ones who are going to receive it. If you block it, then we won't get it. We won't get it. And you won't get it as well. So we need to ask the Lord to help us. Sometimes it's because of our personality. Sometimes we may have very high standards of ourselves. And we find ourselves very inhibited because we don't want to come across, you know, as being wrong. And so we avoid being a part of that conversation or being a part of the plan of God. Because, you know, look, I don't think I have the personality. Maybe ask somebody else. I don't have that personality. When we do that, then you limit your spontaneity. I remember when I was in UWA, I was already a teacher then, but I came to UWA to study psychology. And I remember that we were in a tutorial group, and these are young people, they talk so well. Young people in this country speak so well, no? Anyway, I couldn't be spontaneous. Why? Because they were all like making comments. Wow, they were so good, so logical. And by the time I wanted to say something, tutorial's over. And I remembered going to Bible school. When I first came, I went to Bible school as well. And the Bible school, we have got tutorial as well. And then John Yates. John Yates, one of our Bible school lecturer, he take notes, right? At the end of the whole tutorial, he gave us the results for that tutorial. He gave me zero. Okay, so I asked him, I said, why did I get zero? He said, because you didn't speak at all. He said, I cannot judge you if you don't say anything at all. And that is so true. I said, for my mental state and for my emotional health in this country, if I'm going to stay here for a bit longer, I really may need to be a little bit more spontaneous. And so I told myself, I've decided, I said, Lord, help me. This is years back. I remember 20 years ago. Years back, I said, Lord, help me. When I go to the class, if I've got an idea, help me not to overthink. Help me not to rehearse until become so not spontaneous before speaking. I say, God, when I have the idea and you think it's a good idea, and I won't make a fool out of myself, you think it's a reasonably good idea, not perfect, but reasonably good idea, just help me speak up. And so that day, I spoke up. Well, I didn't win a prize, but I spoke up. And they all kind of like nodded and say, that's not bad. Okay, we need to ask the Lord to help us to discern counter environments. Because this year, if you want to learn how to be spontaneous, you need to know what are the counter environments. And it can be anywhere. These counter environments are found anywhere. It can be found in your home, can be found in church, can be found in a community, can be found in your workplace, anywhere. If you are not aware of these very other directed, unspontaneous sort of environment, then it can prevent us from doing what God wants us to really do. We need this year to hear God a lot clearly, a lot more clearly. We need to hear God's voice a lot more distinctly than the voice of other people. See, Jesus was accused of having too much spontaneity. Because he was hanging out with the sinners, he was laughing, he was eating with them, and the people say, wow, no clear boundary, you know, eat with everybody. John the Baptist, he was being accused too. They were saying that he was playing to the tune of other people because he was preaching only one message, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. See, the voices of other people can intimidate you and can cause you to really hide what God is really going to put inside you, which is a beautiful thing. Action come out, a beautiful thing comes out of a beautiful intent. And God wants to put those desires in us, which is beautiful, but God wants you to act it out so that when you do something that is God-directed, it's going to be a beautiful thing. You see, Jesus would be confined to only hanging out with the preferred and the privileged crowd if he had only listened to others. He had listened to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. John the Baptist would be dancing to the tune of everyone else, except God's tune for him. We need to hear God's voice a lot more distinctly, especially if those voices that we are hearing are in rivalry with what God is saying. Sometimes God gives you a great idea. It is a great idea. If God has spoken to you in a quiet time, it's a great idea. It's ridiculous, I know. That's why you got to guard the idea. Because God used the channel of your very creative mind. God used the channel of your amazing mind. And when you dedicate it to the Lord wants to speak through it. The Lord has no other options. The Lord won't use a cat. The Lord won't use a dog. The Lord uses us. And so when God wants to speak to us and we are able to let His voice arise, then what can happen then is that God is going to be able to fulfill what He wants to do through us. Amen? Amen. Amen. The woman with the alabaster jar just wanted to give Jesus her most treasured possession, because she saw Jesus as the compassionate God who was willing to care for Simon the leper, who was willing to go to the leper's house. And she was touched to the core, just as Jesus was touched to the core, that this great man, 100% God and 100% man, just as Paul was leading us just now at the communion table, this great man, the Lord Jesus, would do something like that. It's amazing, man. You think about it. And this brings to mind a verse in Isaiah 66, verse 12, where God is so compassionate and God is so caring. In that chapter, we were given an image of the compassionate God. It was like a mother with a child dangling at her knee. Have you seen some of these babies dangling at the knee of the mother or dangling at the knee of the grandmother? They were playing dong dong. Now my grandson loves it, no? You know, you press my thigh here and then I will like ding 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 ding, and then he loves it. He's happy as a lark. The Bible tells us that God is so tender and so caring and so compassionate that his believers would just dangle at his knee. The woman felt that spontaneity. The woman was hit with that light bulb in her mind that I can offer my best gift to him that is the most spontaneous and the freest action I can do for him, because it's a small act compared to the big act that Jesus had already done for her. Wow, this year, let's practice spontaneity.
Let the Lord lead you
what it means to be spontaneous. But I'm saying this, that spontaneity matters to God. Spontaneity matters to God. And in Matthew 26, verse 10 to 13, it says, aware of this, Jesus said to them, the disciples, says, why are you bothering this woman? I don't know how Jesus says it, but the question is like that. Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. See, the story is told 2,022 years later by me, right now, that her story, the beautiful thing that she did, is remembered even until today. Why? Because she reflected the beauty of God in her action. She, that day, in the living room of Simon the leper, she was the evidence of God's beauty. How do we see God? God is invisible. We see God in the evidence in the lives of God's people. She was like the lady who put a garment of praise. So today we have the garment of praise. She is the lady that adorned the garment of praise over Jesus to prepare him for his burial. That revealed the deepest comfort to Jesus. See, Jesus is a very prudent man. Jesus is a very economical man and an economical God. How do I know that? Remember when he had the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? What did he ask the disciples to do? Collect the leftovers. Don't waste. Jesus is very economical. Don't waste. I know a lot of households here, we don't waste food. Our hospitality team, I know, they always want to make sure everything is not wasted. Jesus is like that. But here, Jesus says, the poor you always have with you, but you don't always have me with you. Don't you find it something quite curious as to why Jesus behaves like that? Well, because Jesus approved of this generous act of this woman with the alabaster box, because this woman knew the heart of God. No one could share the secret with Jesus. Jesus kept telling the disciples, look, I'm going to die. And then Peter says, no, you're not going to die. And then Jesus got to command him. He said, get behind me, Satan. I'm going to die. You don't say that I won't be dying, right? See, nobody could understand. Nobody think that Jesus was going to die. Nobody could. They kept denying. They didn't want to hear it. But this spontaneous act of this woman filled the heart of Jesus. Jesus, in his deepest moment, see, God is feeling it. God is not just up there, invisible, not feeling. God has feelings. Huh? God can be grieved. God can be happy. God can be delighted. Yeah, God can be touched by our infirmities. You see, that day, something that the woman did make Jesus understand that he was being understood. Do you know some of the beautiful things that we do? It's like we understand God. I know God understands us. But when we do certain things that are God-directed and sometimes not too other-directed, it's like we so touch the heart of God that we almost can make God say, wow, someone understands me. That's why God roams the earth to find out who the righteous person is, because God has chosen us to hold the secrets to the kingdom of God, and God wants us to be like a child, spontaneous and free to listen to him, so that when we are prompted by spontaneity, Galatians 5:13 says, you are called to freedom. You are called to, one part of freedom is spontaneity. When you are called to Nieti, don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Don't just say, oh, I feel free to do anything. I feel free to watch the sunset. Feel free to... Take it as an opportunity. Galatians 5:13 says, Paul says, to serve one another with love. Praise the Lord. God is creative. There are many needs around this new year, right? Our borders are opening, but there are still needs around. We have many needs around. I wonder what God has quickened us to do this year. God says if you spontaneously give a glass of cold water to a child, tell you what, God says your reward will not be taken away. Jesus says if you fed somebody, or if you host somebody, or give them a shirt or a dress, or you visit somebody in prison, Jesus says we are doing it for him. Jesus says our reward will not be forgotten. Our spontaneity as we listen to God will be rewarded. We have to be very careful as we live in the West. As we live in the West, as we live in Perth, and we'll be living here for many more years, we need to realize that in the West, we can become cerebral. We can become very rational. We can become very thinking. And sometimes we can subject the spontaneous to the orderly. We'd rather be orderly than spontaneous. Or we'll be rather be reasonable than enthusiastic. Or we can be just regular. And you go to McDonald's, what do you want? Regular. We can be just regular rather than wonderful. I'm not saying that American culture is really good, but over there it's like, whoa, big, I want big, whoa. You know, very dramatic. Sometimes we go only for the regular, we forget the wonderful. Please erase my McDonald's story. Not a good story. I didn't record it in my script. This is really lousy. Forget about it, okay? But sometimes we only go for the regular. We forget how to spark joy in the spontaneous and very supernatural presence of the Lord. The disciples focus only on charity. They forgot worship. They forgot praise. They were preoccupied with good works, but they forgot the pleasure of praising God, of pouring perfume on his head. They learned the economics, but they forgot the spiritual. I pray that this year we will be able to be more God-directed, less other-directed, and realize that spontaneity matters to God. It is impossible to please God without faith. And faith sometimes comes out a little bit more spontaneous than the rational. The rational sometimes need to think a lot, and overthink, and then don't do. Worse still. Spontaneity matters to God. And this year I pray that we will let the Lord lead us so that we can grow in spontaneity. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, what is in your heart? I just pray that as your believers, as your sheep, we will hear your voice. Lord, you say the sheep hears the voice of the shepherd. What is in your heart? What is in our heart? Oh God, you do hear it very clearly, but what is in your heart? I pray that the ears of individuals today, dear Lord, will be so attuned to you that we will hear what is in your heart and spontaneously respond to what is in your heart. So that we can be known as a child of faith and a child of spontaneity, a child that listens to God and do as he says. I pray as a church, Lord, we are a church that is so creative. We are so able to solve problems. We are so able, Lord, to have a project or an assignment and run with it. We have got so much resources here. I pray this year, dear Lord, open up the ears of the church so that, Lord, we can catch what you spontaneously want to tell us. So that, Lord, we'll be careful not to just hear our own things, but to hear you, Lord, because there are needs out there. You know, you care for the needs around. You are attuned to the needs around and you match us. the needs to the people that can supply the needs. I pray that, Lord, you will count us in the church, or count us in as individuals, that, Lord, we will be spontaneous. And when we do that, dear Lord, we will be, our desires of our heart, oh God, will be stirred up to really enjoy this Christian life, that we'll be called an emotionally healthy disciple. If that is you, would you raise your hand to the Lord? You want to be the emotionally healthy disciple. That's you. Would you raise it to the Lord? You don't know what steps are being taken, but you raise your hand to the Lord and ask the Lord to fill you and fill you over and over again. Father, I pray, Spirit of God, right now, fill us with all creative endeavors. Fill us, oh Lord, with educational pursuit and with music and with arts and with expression that only can come from heaven. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, as your people obey you and are spontaneous to your call, that God, you'll begin to feel any brokenheartedness, dear Lord. I pray even right now, dear Lord, begin to heal and help recover, so that, Lord, we're able to move in the miraculous. We're able to move in the fresh anointing of the Lord. So, Father, I pray you see those hands and see those hearts, dear Lord, this morning. Come and minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise